meeting. This is Tuesday, March 18th, 2025. It's 5:30 p.m. We're here for our regular scheduled council meeting. I call this meeting to order. Could I get a roll call, please?
All council members are present.
Start with the invocation from Pastor Nicholas Grainer from Hope United Methodist Church. Please stand if you'd like to join us.
I invite you each to adopt an attitude most prayerful for you, and after a moment of silence, we'll pray. Holy One, known by many names and in many ways, we lift before you all who govern at the national, state, and county levels, and particularly those of this Council of Bullhead City. Bless all these public servants that they may do their work in a spirit of wisdom, charity, justice, and mercy. Amen.
Amen.
Please join me in a Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please be seated. All right, before we get started with the call to plug, we have a proclamation to give out. Could I get Larry and everyone from Kiwanis up front? Testing. Whereas the children of our community are the future and of the utmost importance, and whereas healthy habits and regular physical activity are essential to maintaining children's physical, mental, and academic health, and whereas research shows that communities with programs directed toward healthy habits and safe places to be physically active can have positive effects on children's mental health and emotional well-being, and whereas our community is committed to promoting activities directed at children and creating a supportive environment for physical activity and healthy habits, and whereas the City of Bullhead City and the Bullhead City Kiwanis Club are committed to assisting with the growth, development, education, safety, and security of all children in this community, and whereas the free 7th Annual Kiwanis Kids Expo will take place on Saturday, March 29th, 2025 from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Ken Fogart Park. Now, therefore, I, Steve D'Amico, Mayor of Bullhead City, do hereby proclaim Saturday, March 29th, 2025 as Kiwanis Kids Expo Day in the City of Bullhead City, and call upon community leaders, schools, healthcare providers, businesses, and all residents to join in promoting child involvement and create a culture of health and activity in our community. And witness thereof, I hereunto set my hand this 18th day of March, 2025, Steve D'Amico, Mayor of Bullhead City. Thank you.
He's over there. Real quick, we are at currently 89 Easy Ups that we're setting up that Saturday morning for vendors that keep kids and our children in our communities from Needles all the way to Laughlin busy, healthy, and safe. And that's why we put this on. We've got churches. We've got almost every school in our area. Highway patrols from Needles, California, Arizona, sheriff's office. At the same point in time, the Boys and Girls Club are doing their touch a truck. And just in the touch a truck alone, because I'm going to have to read it because I can't remember, we're going to have a helicopter on scene, tractors where kids can actually raise the buckets and enjoy that. SWAT vehicle. We're having a jail bus from the sheriff's office. Sergeant Eddie Espinoza with the police department will have his motorcycle there so kids can get on the motorcycle and get a picture taken. All kinds of clubs, mental health agencies will be there, a lot of children's organizations. So come out. It's all free. We do sell hot dogs for a whole buck and also cotton candy and snow cones. Other than that, we're glad to be a part of this and put this on for the community. Thank you.
All All right, now we move on to our call to the public. If you're an individual, you get 3 minutes to speak. If you're a group, you get 5 minutes. Your group must be with you, four or more people. Let us know ahead of time. We'll make sure you get your 5 minutes. With that being said, Steve, you want to start?
Stephen Lee, Bullhead City. I apologize to everyone on council and members of the public that usually get the Patriots Free Press. I gave out the last of my copies at the Lincoln Day dinner in Kingman. For anyone who really wants one for this month, there may be some left at D'Angelo's, at the GOP office, or at Hayes Chiropractic. So if you really want one, pick up one there. For those who aren't aware, and I realize there are some who aren't as astutely aware as they should be in our government, and police department, there have been nationwide huge numbers of swatting incidents, specifically where conservatives were targeted and they were called out of their house in the middle of the night. Their family members were swatted by calling the police department with various scamming tools, some just making false claims, some actually using AI to impersonate the individuals and getting them called out of the house. There have been prominent journalists that this have happened to, Nick Fuentes and one of the InfoWars journalists as well. So this is something that everyone needs to be astutely aware of so that when responding to these types of calls, and I already mentioned it to the chief and to one of the lieutenants that this is going on. The chief didn't seem keenly aware until now. I know that he's going to take action on it, but the whole department and the whole city really needs to be aware of this. On another note, the communication system with the radios has not been anywhere near as successful as I had hoped. We usually have very low participation rates in it, but one solution that I thought of that I think is essential and dirt cheap compared to the amount of money the city spends on other things is to have several Starlink communications uplinks so that when the internet goes down next time, regardless of for how long, both the city's 911 system, city communications for the council to be able to communicate with other governments, and for members of the public to be able to have a place to go to be able to get a hotspot, send email, make a Wi-Fi call, and have enough bandwidth so that people have a means of communication in an emergency. It's very easy for this town to be cut off completely from all internet and phone, and it's happened before. I hope you'll consider this very seriously. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Good evening. My name's Wayne Colburn, and I live over in Needles. And I'm working with a new 501(c) here in the River Community area. So we're trying to reach out to everybody to let them know that we're here. And specifically tonight, we are putting together a chili cook-off next month on April 19th at 8 o'clock in the morning. We're going to be doing a chili cook-off, and we would like to invite Mr. Mayor and council members, if any of you would be interested in joining us and be one of our judges. We'd greatly appreciate that. And we're just looking to let our voices be known here. We're new. What we're doing is we're trying to reach out to be an assistance to other 501s that are trying to get projects and stuff together. But at the same time, we're trying to do fundraising for the communities that are the, you've made $5 too much, so you don't qualify for assistance in other programs and everything. We want to be that in a position where we can be there, because even though you make $5 too much, a lot of times that's still not enough for you to get some of the stuff you need, whether it be assistance with medical equipment for an elderly or a disabled child, disabled veteran, whatever the case may be. But we want to be able to reach out and do that. And so we're going to be looking to do fundraising throughout the years coming forward and throughout all the cities here in the tri-state river community. And that's why we chose not to go with Needles River Community Coalition, because we want to be able to be here for the tri-state river community. And this is one of our workers here, and she's going to be joining us for the chili cook-off, and she's been a great help, and she's our fundraising guru. So if she comes by, hide your arms, because she will twist them very well. Nancy, did you want to say something?
No.
Okay. Well, and we have a poster for y'all to put up somewhere here that everyone can see, and encourage everyone to come out and join us. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Thank you. We'd like to come up next.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, my name is Ron Duvall, and I'm with Desert Shores Community Baptist Church. And for the second time, we're going to be running the Dave Ramsey Financial Peace University program starting tomorrow night. We're going to run it on an accelerated basis. It'll run for 5 weeks. And I'm sure any of you that know of Dave Ramsey, about 30 years ago, he suffered through his own tremendous bankruptcy, started this for people like himself that were dealing in financial difficulties, especially young couples, young people that are prone to get into these problems. Better than 50% of marriages fail because of financial problems. So we'd like to touch as many people in the community this time around as possible and get the word out. And I'm sure you're saying that you really don't need it. Well, statistically, either the person on your right or your left or someone you know does need this program. Just two quick examples. A gentleman came at our last program, shared with us that he was having real problems. He was in real debt. And 14 months later, wrote his last check to get himself out of debt. Another lady was in our program, and after the fifth or sixth week, she came, we were sharing one evening, and she says, I was with my daughter in Texas. I couldn't believe what was coming out of my mouth. I was explaining to her how to set up a college savings plan for her daughter to start saving for money for her college. It's a program with a lot of assets in it. It helps a lot of people if they'll just commit to come. So I'll leave some of my flyers on the back table. My number's on here. Give me a call. It starts at 6 o'clock tomorrow night for the next 5 weeks. We'd invite anybody to come. Our church is underwriting all the costs, so it's no cost. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Hello, my name is Jeremy Brunk. I'm with TWN Communications in Bullhead City. I'm here tonight to give a brief update of our project we have going on. So we're just about wrapping up over there in the Holiday Highlands area and Holiday Shores. We do have a small delay in the Hancock Ranch area and the River's Edge area. We don't suspect that to be a long delay, but we will think we'll probably be back up and going in the next week or so. If anybody out there listens to me or hears me, if you have any restoration problems, please call 928-444-8232 or come visit us up at our offices at 2020 Silver Creek Road, Unit 113D. So thank you very much. Have a good day.
Thank you. Who'd like to come up next?
Good evening. I'm Rose Jacobs, Bullhead City. This evening I'm here to invite our community and the tri-state area to our last concert of the 24-25 season for the Colorado River Concert Series. Our last show will be presented on Wednesday, March 26th at 7 p.m. Mojave High School Auditorium. The band is Good Shot Judy. This eight-piece swing band is accompanied by two vocalists. The band is known as the Mid-Atlantic's number one high-octane swing band. This is swing music. It's going to be really happy and really joyful. It's going to be an exciting performance, and is we're going to be celebrating the last concert of our 50th anniversary season. So show tickets are $35 for adults and $5 for students if accompanied by an adult. Tickets can be purchased online, and that's at CRConcerts with an S, crconcerts.com, or at the Will Call area the evening of the concert. Doors open at 6:15. All tickets are open seating. Being the last concert of the season, we will be selling the next season's tickets. Everyone that purchases a 20, 25, 26 season tickets before the last concert or at the last concert on March 26 will receive one complimentary Bring a Guest Pass. This pass allows season ticket holders to bring one guest to one of the future 25, 26 concerts of their choice. That's a $35 value. So just telling you a little bit about next season, just a little hint, I'll be coming back and talking about that in the future, but one of our big acts for next year has just been confirmed, and that's the Swan Brothers. They were on The Voice. It's a country music group, very happy, joyful, kind of a southern rock type style, and we're really excited to have them, and that's just one of the four that we are presenting next season. Our organization will also be welcoming new sponsors for the next season, and you can contact us at the same website, crconcerts.com, crconcerts.com, and please come and enjoy the March 26th show. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Harvey Pryor. Been living here for 38 years now. Wow, I did have something else to say, but apparently the mayor has shown our city manager some of my Facebook posts, and he's really upset to where he wants to verbally attack me outside. And he's upset that I have a First Amendment. So I got questions anyway, because I'm trying to understand government and how it all works. So anything I'm going to say is what alleged, just whatever. So why is it that a government, city government employee can fall under investigation for something and then be given the option to resign? But if they resign, does that mean the investigation stops and there is nothing to investigate anymore because they're no longer an employee? Is that the way that works? So then they can later come back, apply to work for the city again. There's nothing in their personnel file because the investigation stopped, and they can be rehired. Is that the way qualified immunity works? Or get out of jail? What about other people in the investigations? Supposedly, if there was one, allegedly, whatever. So those sort of things, it happens in federal governments, it happens in state governments, it happens in city governments. But I've always been very, very curious. Does that investigation keep going even though there's others in it? Nobody ever wants to tell me. So I got to come up and ask. So, yeah. That's what I'm up here to ask about. I know you can't answer me, but I know sometime in the future, the truth comes out. It always does. Yeah. So, I would like to do a records request, even though verbal. I want Steve, the mayor, and the chief's communications for the day, text, computer, and everything, and even your little whatever y'all doing before the meeting and stuff. I'd like to have that, if you don't mind, pretty please. Man, is this the Biden administration in Bullhead City? Sure looks like it.
Anyone else?
gender. 10 months since you caused my heart attack. Why are you covering for Kim Kuhl? I have sent evidence throughout Facebook to all these people, and that's 10% of what I bought on several of you people. The race on Hancock that went to Train, went to Hancock, insurance binder gets canceled. I know all of that BS. Don't want to know it, but I do. You guys are instrumental in shutting my store down. You're trying to get me out of town. Here's what I got to say. I'm old, and I'm ready to fight. You got it? I'm coming for you, old man. I'm coming for you. You better get rid of Kim Kuhl. I'm telling you, she ain't worth saving.
Anyone else? We need order in the audience, please.
Supervisor Rich Lettman, representing Bullhead City. I wanted to come today and just update on a couple of items that are moving kind of quickly at the board level, trying to get some support and awareness from Bullhead City Council. On our April 7th Board of Supervisors meeting, there'll be two resolutions coming forward, and the first one involves the Mojave County Airport Authority. And to make it very clear, I'm very happy with the airport authority, the management, the way it's run. Nobody wants to get in the business of running the airport, at least at the county level. But we're going to be asking one of the resolutions that I will introduce that we would like to invite the MCAA board chairman and the airport director to come on up in a meeting in the month of May to make a presentation on the activities of the airport. What's going on? I would encourage Bullhead City, City Council, to do the same thing. Second resolution in this area is that we are going to ask the MCAA to formally amend their bylaws to expand the board of directors. I would like it to go to 9. It's presently at 7. But that 8th seat, we would like a representative of Mojave County. My resolution that we're introducing cannot support Bullhead City also having a seat on that board, which I think is entirely appropriate. The airport is critical to the economic development of this area. So that'll be coming forward. I would encourage the City Council to make sure that you also have a resolution asking for your seat on the Board of Directors for MCAA, that a 9th seat. And I think they're probably amenable to doing that. It's something you need to formally do. The second item that we'll be talking about involves around the Bureau of Reclamation and Davis Dam. I recently met with the new deputy director, Christy Kernan, of she has the Boulder City region, which includes Davis Dam, and we are asking her to start the process of allowing the public after 26, 27 years to open up Davis Dam for public visits. Okay, and we are looking at Saturday, September 27th, which is National Public Lands Day, the most appropriate day to let the public back in its dam. Davis Dam is the start of it. It's why Bullhead City and Laughlin exist. Okay, and we're also working with the Bullhead City School District and Clark County Schools to allow field trips during that week also into the dam. We don't have that permission from the BOR, but we will be putting a resolution in front of the Board of Supervisors presenting that. So again, we want the public to be able to go into the dam on the 27th, okay? We would look for some support from the Bullhead City Council.
Anyone else?
Good evening, Grace Hecht, Bullhead City. I just wanted to say thank you, which I know you guys don't hear very often. Just a couple weeks ago, the opening of the Senior Center, this morning, the ATV. I think you guys are doing a great job, and I think the city on a whole is improving leaps and bounds. So thank you for all that you do. I wanted to mention that this Saturday is the free food distribution. It is now back at 590 Hancock, and that starts at 7 a.m. We need volunteers to help pack the 30,000 pounds of food that we get from St. Mary's Food Bank on Friday from 3 to 6. So if anybody would like to come and volunteer, we appreciate it. And then also on April 12th, we are having our adult egg hunt, which is going to be at Davis Camp this year, not at Laughlin Ranch. There's way better parking at Davis Camp. And so we'll have a battle of the bands with 5 bands and a prize of $1,000. Food trucks, beer garden, and 10,000 eggs. We're doing this in collaboration and partnership with River Fund, which is an incredible organization that we have here. All the sponsorships that we get are going directly to River Fund's Cancer Fund. A couple of years ago, there was a little boy in our community named Zachary who had leukemia, and our community rallied around him, and River Fund has been supporting them for years, helping them get back and forth to Las Vegas, and Zachary is now in complete and full remission, which is incredible. So all this money will go to River Fund's Cancer Fund, and I just want to say thank you again to all of you, and I hope to see you there.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Gary Genovese, Bullhead City, representing Colorado River Historical Society and Museum. You all know that I've spoken at length about the museum, our little white building by Community Park, and the Little Red Schoolhouse as a window to the past. But none of this can happen without monetary funds to stabilize it. So we are embarking, which I've mentioned in the past, 3 times a year, but this time is Easter. And Easter means honey-baked ham, that delicious golden crust, sugary outside, and that sweet, salty pink on the inside. Ones you have enjoyed at Thanksgiving, Christmas, and now at Easter. Somebody mentioned to me, said, "Oh my God, the ham man's back. Now I can get my Easter ham. I thought it was gone forever." But no fear, the ham man will take care of all of your needs for Easter. So remember, we can help the community by helping the museum by purchasing a delicious honey-baked ham, which has a grand reputation. And you can purchase this honey-baked ham by contacting Susanna Van Sloten at 928-234-4807, and we will be picking these hams up for you and delivering it to Bullhead City on April 17th, so you get to listen to me for a couple of more times, and making sure that you are ready to have your honey-baked ham and help the community by helping the museum. So remember, contact Susanna at 928-234-4807. Oh, and a side note, the Weather Channel said it might be 93 on Monday. Buckle up, it might be a long ride. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Hard act to follow. I'm Eva Genovese, and evening mayor, council, and Toby Cotter. I want to tell you guys about two things. The first one is that on Friday, March the 28th, they're having their bingo at the, they call it the venue now, but I still think it's the Realtor Center, right? Yeah, it's the Realtor Center. It's at 837 Hancock Road in Bullhead City. And this time the bingo is going to, the benefits will go to CASA Council and Bullhead City Saint Charities. So we're so excited about that because, as you know, Bullhead City Saints is one of my favorite charities. That's we helping animals together. That's Friday, March the 28th, and it starts at 5 o'clock. So, and the tickets are $30, and I think that includes your daubers. The second thing I want to mention is that I am so excited that we are having our annual America First Victory Gala at the Riverside Hotel, the famous prime rib buffet. Our keynote speaker is Andy Biggs. He's a candidate for Arizona governor, and he's also a congressman, currently a congressman. Also, our guest speaker will be candidate for attorney general for Arizona, Rodney Glassman. He's one of my favorite speakers. And of course, our MC will be Senator Hildy Angus, and our auctioneer will be Mayor Steve D'Amico. So you know it's going to be fun. Tickets are $75, or you can buy a table, which I bought two tables. And we'll be speaking Congressman Paul Gozar, Representative Leo Biasucci, and Representative John Gillette. And I know that our local supervisor will be there. That's Rich Lettman. And he's going to bring all his friends, so we're going to have a great time. Anyway, it's, again, Saturday, April the 26th at the Riverside Hotel, where you get a famous prime rib buffet, and it's the best. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Anyone else? All right, we're going to close the call to the public. Agenda modifications. Are there any items to be withdrawn from or moved to the appropriate place on the agenda? If not, I'll take a waiver motion, please.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to motion to waive the reading in full of all ordinances and resolutions presented for adoption at this meeting.
I second the motion.
Cast your votes.
7 in favor of the motion. Motion carries.
Manager's report.
Good afternoon, Mayor D'Amico, council members. Just a couple items this evening. First, a little update on the RC track down in Rotary Park. I want to thank Councilman Newland for getting involved with some surveys and talking to a lot of folks down there, and also the Park and Rec Commission for taking up the item. Dave Heath has a short presentation for us on that particular item and the progress that's being made and the improvements that are being made at the RC park within Rotary Park. And then he'll also touch a little bit about the summer camp that is opening up registration soon. So Dave, if you could walk us through those two items.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Council. Thank you, City Manager Cotter. I don't know if anybody had a chance to see our last Parks and Rec Commission meeting, but it was really exciting as it pertains to the RC track. We had a whole bunch of people there representing the RC track, and that's kind of indicative of what this is all about right now. It's enthusiasm. We've got a good group of folks out there who are very enthusiastic. They're not just coming with their hands out and saying, City, give us something. They're out there putting in work. They're putting blood, sweat, and tears into that track, and it's really paying off. And it's nice to have partners like that when we're working on a project like this. So I'll get right into some of the things that have happened recently. We entered into a contract with a gentleman named Mac Marlon. He's helped us with the track before. This contract allows him to, we're not paying him anything. It's just a legal thing, so he can go out there and operate his heavy equipment out there on the track and basically shape and design the track with all the folks out there. He's doing an amazing job, and like I said, he's volunteering his time. And in fact, speaking of donations, SNS Concrete stepped up. They gave us 5 loads of the clay that we needed for the track for free, donated that to us. We augmented that with another 10 loads that we purchased, and that's what's out there right now, what they've been working on the last couple of weekends. And that's the perfect stuff. It's what we need to make this track look good, to shape it, to be able to take care of it ongoing with water and rakes and everything that we need to take care of this track. We have also purchased 4 lights for the track. So as the summer starts to warm up, people like to be out there at night when it's a little bit cooler, and they'll be able to do that now because we're going to be installing these lights this week. And we also have power that's coming to the track too, because that's an essential ingredient to what they're doing. Of course, a lot of these vehicles need to be charged. A lot of their remotes need to be charged, but power is essential for what we're doing out there. So we are running, we've got a contractor that's out there. It's going to be running power to the driver's stand and also to the shed, so they'll have power for all of their needs, including the lights that they'll have out there at the track. We've also staked out the location for the oval track. The oval track, what you have out there right now is the clay track, and the oval track is going to be concrete. It's going to be smooth concrete, and it's going to be directly on the other side, on the south side of the driver's stand that's out there right now. And that's the neat thing about RC is there's a little something for everyone. There's a lot of different tastes out there. Like some folks like to do the drag races. Sometimes some folks like to do the track that we have now. Some people like to do the oval track. Some like to do the rock crawling. We're going to have something for everybody. So we're very excited about that. And we're also going to have a place for them to park. So basically, the whole area between the north soccer field and the RC track, from the handicap parking lot to the north to Balboa to the south. We're going to be taking care of that. We're going to put millings in there right now, and I believe Angie's going to have millings with slurry on it, if I'm not mistaken. I could be speaking out of turn. Don't quote me on that. But we are going to have something better for them to park on coming up very soon, and we're excited about that. The oval track has been designed. We've worked with the folks that are the RC guys out there to help design the track, so we're making sure that we get exactly what they want out there, because goodness knows I'm not the RC expert out there. I'm an expert in knowing what people like, and I'm seeing that we have a lot of people out there that like it, so we get them involved, and they've been very helpful in helping us design this every step of the way. We have tables out there on the track right now. We're going to be adding a couple of more picnic tables to the track for folks to not only sit and eat, but also they can watch from the tables, and they can work on their cars from the tables too. David Alton is a new gentleman in town, and since he's gotten to Bullhead City, he really has jumped in headfirst to take on this track as his project, and he's gotten a lot of people more involved, and including the locals that are here, and including people from Las Vegas too. He came from the Henderson area, and he's gotten some folks that he knew from before he was in Bullhead to get involved. He said he's the one that's been out there installing the pipe and kind of leading the effort to install the pipe that's the border around the whole track, but he's also gotten I hope I'm saying this right, Giswaldo Racing involved, and they have donated a new pit lane and a new timing system for the track. These are big ticket items. It's going to be a value of over $11,000 that they're donating to the track, so we're very thankful for them doing that. And that's it on my updates right now. The work continues. As soon as the timing system is in, they're going to start having races, and we will make sure that we let everybody know when those races are. It's going to be a whole schedule, a whole season of races that we'll have at the track, and we encourage everyone to come out. If you have not ever handled an RC vehicle before, please come out anyway. We have a lot of people out there that are more than willing to teach you and to show you what you need to know, and they'll be happy to have you there. So thank you very much.
Summer
camp.
Dave, if you want to stay and talk about summer camp as well.
As long as I'm here, let's talk about summer camp too. Summer camp, we've run the last few years, couple years, and it's been a huge success. Claire Adams for the Recreation Division, our senior recreation supervisor, has really made this a labor of love for herself, and she loves doing it. She loves getting our staff involved. And we've got another one coming up. The camp's going to be running from May 27th through June 27th. We're going to have all of the camps that we had last year and more. You've got football camp, basketball camp, volleyball camp, soccer camp. You've got drone camp. You've got science camp. You've got media production camp. You've got baking camp. You've got arts and crafts camp. You've got clay camp. You've got painting camp. The list just goes on and on and on. If you can't find something for your kid to do at this camp, you're just not paying attention, because there's a lot going on. There's something for everybody. We have 45 camps happening during these 5 weeks. This is, like I said, this is our third year running the camp. The registration will open on Rec Desk. That's bullheadcity.com/recdesk. That's where you can register your kids, bullheadcity.com/recdesk. It'll have the whole list of camps, and you can, you know, first come, first serve. They fill up fast, so I encourage everybody to get out there on April 1st. April 1st is when we open up registration for all the camps. We have an early bird special this year. It's going to be $5 off any camp that you want, running all the way through April 13th. So from April 1st through April 13th, $5 off any camp you want, bullheadcity.com/recdesk. And if you have any questions about anything that you've heard just now, please feel free to contact Claire Adams. Her number is 928-763-0158. She can tell you everything you need to know. I should also mention, the cool thing about having these camps in the summer is that we have the field house. We have the field house for the month. Great place to do a football camp in the month of June in Bullhead City, or a soccer camp or track and field camp. So it's nice to have the field house. We utilize it to its fullest extent. So that's the end of my report. Thank you. Good job.
Not as good as Claire, but it's still a good job.
It's a high bar.
Yeah,
very high bar.
Appreciate that. 2 weeks ago today, council members, you all remember, we did the grand opening of the new Senior Enrichment Center, a world-class facility right across the street next to the Senior Nutrition Center. We've got a short video to show that our TV4 crew put together from that day. So if they could cue that up, we can watch that for just about 3 minutes.
Senior Nutrition Center used to be run by the county. The city, under Jack Haycomb's leadership, they looked at wanting to have the city operate it. So in July of 2011, the city took over the Nutrition Center. Once the city took over in 2011, we pretty much did congregate meals and did home-delivered meals through Meals on Wheels. That Nutrition Center was remodeled in May of 21 is when it was completed. Once that was completed, we did almost 140 activities a month and still served about 3,100 meals each month. And it was determined that our activities were growing too rapidly. So we applied and got another CDBG grant in the fall of 22, which allowed us to do an addition to the building. The processes went really well at the Senior Enrichment Center. T.R. Orr's been the contractor, and Angie Johnson, our public works, has kind of been the lead for the construction. And we've worked with Selberg Incorporated for the engineering design. We also found out that we were gonna get a generator that was kind of gifted from the county through Hilde Angus. We got the generator delivered in December of 24. And once we got the generator, got the electrical hooked up, then it was wrapping up construction and the move-in process.
The Senior Enrichment Center is a place for anyone 50 plus to come and participate in all sorts of activities. We have this brand new 7,700 square foot building, which has multiple rooms. The exercise room, we have all kinds of things like Tai Chi, Zumba, all types of relaxations. We're working on getting more instructors now that we have this room. And then we have the library, which is where we're staged right now. This room is perfect for coming, selecting books. We have a couple of puzzle tables, so you can read here, you can do puzzles here. This room also includes a full computer system, 4 computers that people can access throughout the day. We also then have a game room, which is lots of fun. Dart boards, shuffleboard, poker table, pool table, and then just pub chairs and tables so you can do card games and things like that. And then we have what we call our great room. It can house our dances, our parties. Conference room is a great place for all of our support groups. We also have a craft room that will have monthly classes in. We also have a knit and crochet group that will meet there, a sewing group and quilting group that meets there. And again, now that we have the added spaces, we'll be adding more things. So we're trying to really find everyone in our community a home.
And it's important to keep seniors active. It's good all the way around, from health and fitness to mental health. Now with this 7,700 square foot and 9,000 if you count the outside area, now we can provide all those activities for the seniors, the social interaction, and still provide a top class nutrition program.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Jeff, and thanks to Kim for all their hard work and bringing that to fruition. Already hundreds and hundreds of our seniors have already started to enjoy this new facility. If you haven't been there yet, we invite our entire community, 50 and above, to come Monday through Friday for activities. Sometimes there's special events on the weekends. But it's a great place to immerse yourself in activities for seniors. And we're very proud of this new facility. It was funded in part by the city's general fund, thanks to the council and our hard work over the last few years. And then a CDBG grant, as Jeff had mentioned, above about $1 million from the federal government through the state to us. So again, great project, and it's now fully open, and we now can enjoy our new senior enrichment center. And the last item, Council, on my list is the community park summer parking fees. As you know, the way our parking fees work, the administration, the city manager, determines what those fees are based on environment and conditions and the like. So we do not charge to park at Rotary Park. We do not charge to park at the Nature Center. Everyone else charges, right? We charge a community park, and that's what this is about. We're raising the fee this summer from $20 to $25. That's the first time we've raised it for those entering community park since we implemented this back in 2020. It generates about $650,000 per year that goes immediately right back into community park. This will generate approximately another $150,000, which will go right back into community park. Keep in mind, not one single Bullhead City resident pays this fee. This is paid for by people who live outside of the city. Last year, the city council adopted in the fee schedule an opportunity for those who live in Laughlin and Fort Mojave to gain a $50 pass to enter the park at their desire during those months we're charging. So again, if you live in Fort Mojave or Laughlin, it's a $50 fee. Now keep in mind, if you go to the National Park, if you go to Davis Camp, if you go to Big Bend, if you use tribal land, you pay at all of them. The city is the only one in the entire region that offers free river access up and down the river. But at Community Park, from May through September, we do charge, and that's where that $650,000 comes in, which all immediately goes back into the park, paid for by people impacting the utilization of the park.
I'll add to that. I'm the one that wanted to raise this to five. If you go to California, anywhere else, they've raised their prices. We're kind of going to treat them like Canada and put a little tariff on them too. But with that being said, our people here, our citizens, will never pay to get into any of our parks as long as I'm around. And I'd like to add too, prior to this, we included Fort Mojave and Laughlin for the $50 yearly pass. I say we also include Mojave Valley and Needles, and let's drop it down to $35 for a year pass. Let's get we're one tri-state community, so we'll give them a little break. Absolutely nothing for ours, and California over there can pay the 25.
So Mayor D'Amico, if I could, it's not on the agenda, so I would have to put that on the next agenda. Because we did put that in our comprehensive fee schedule to charge the $50 for the Laughlin and Fort Mojave resident, if the council wanted to expand the definition and lower the amount, we would consider that at the next meeting. As far as the fluctuation of the general fees at the parks, that code has already been codified. It's already there too. So I don't hear you wanting to reconsider that, but we'll certainly at the next meeting bring back a reconsideration to lower the amount charged to Fort Mojave and Laughlin residents and maybe expand the definition.
Yes, thank you.
Can I add one thing to that?
Sure.
City employees that don't live in Bullhead City, maybe we should do something for them to get into the park free. Maybe we can put that in there.
I will definitely add that for conversation, again, since we're not on the agenda, but I'll add it to the future agenda.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. Mayor and council members report on current events. Anyone have anything?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to invite everybody to the Kiwanis of the Colorado River off-road poker run. We do it twice a year. This one will be the first Saturday in April 5th. It's a fun time for families. Entry fee is $75. They get two lunches, a poker hand, and the first 100 people will get a whip flag. We start out on Boundary Cone Road, and we will have a Easter bunny out there for kids to take picture with. Also, we'll have a jester, because the Fool's Run is what we call this one. Food will be made by the wonderful members of the Kiwanis Club. We will probably have, usually we have a pulled pork sandwich, a brat, and or a cheeseburger available for you to choose. You can go to KiwanisPokerRun.com to register. You can buy additional poker hands and additional lunches if you want. All proceeds go back into our community for a lot of our projects that we do, like our big project we're doing now where we're building beds for children in the tri-state community. So, again, it's KiwanisPokerRun.com. It's April 5th, and if you miss all that, you can show up out on Boundary Cone Road. I will have the address at the next meeting, and you can actually just register there.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'll go next. March 29th is Vietnam Veterans Day. I'm inviting the public, veterans families, to come out and join us at the 10,005 VFW here in Bullhead City for a free barbecue, starting from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. I'll be there manning the grill, hoping to get First Sergeant O'Neill over here to relieve me occasionally to give me a break on that.
I'll be there.
All righty. But we'll be there, and we're inviting everybody to come out and show these veterans, Vietnam veterans, some love. They deserve it. They weren't treated so well when they came back. Doesn't mean we can't treat them like the way they deserve to be treated now. And come out and honor them. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. One thing I want to bring to everybody's attention, in case they didn't see it in the newspaper, is that beginning March 24th, the Laughlin Parkway leading to the Silver Copper Crossing, that's the bridge linking Laughlin and Bullhead City, will be closed to automobile traffic from Monday at 6 a.m. to Thursday, April 3rd at 6 p.m., as crews will work to install vital safety features in that area. Those will be the turnout areas in the event you have an emergency. The bridge and adjacent roadways will reopen to serve weekend traffic Thursday evenings through Monday morning, and the project is estimated to take 2 weeks to complete. A 3.5-mile roadway project will add 10 200-foot-long emergency turnouts to Laughlin Parkway, four to the eastbound traffic and six to westbound traffic. And that's so for safety of not only pedestrians, but anybody transversing over the bridge, whether they're from Nevada or whether they're from the Arizona side. That's all I got. Thank you.
I want to add one thing to that real quick. Before, they didn't have those turnouts. Very highly needed. You get a flat tire, you had nowhere else to go. But I'm giving you a little warning. I don't know their PD over there, but I'm sure now they have a turnout to give you a ticket. So don't be speeding over there. They're probably going to be there to get you.
Thanks, Mayor D'Amico. Just wanted to say it was a great morning at the OHV staging area. Ribbon cutting. Just want to say thanks to everyone that worked to make that happen. It looks great, and it will be used well. Also, regarding the RC track, I just wanted to mention a few people. Dave, Eddie, Mike, Neil, Mac, and Anthony, and so many others who have really put in effort to that area. It's looking awesome, and it's going to be a great space.
Thank you.
I got one more thing. I got invited last Wednesday to the initial planning meeting of the Veterans Summit, sponsored by Rich Lettman. We had seven different organizations there, and what we're trying to do is make a clearinghouse for a one-stop shop for veterans in need, or any veteran service. You need a DD-214, you got a homeless veteran, you just need help with something with the VA. It was the initial planning meeting. We're planning more for the future with the goal of having a Veterans Summit sometime at the end of the year, August time frame. I do a lot of work with veterans out here. Really, really excited about this, and it's a great thing. Thank you, Rich.
Let me add a little to that, too. When we say we'll be able to get you your DD-214s and get you everything, we won't be doing that ourselves there.
Right.
We will be manning probably with volunteers and everything, we will be manning there. The problem we have right now is we have all these organizations in town, and a lot of our senior veterans and might not know how to get manipulated a computer, or they'll call one place and not get what they need there and have to call 20 places. We're all going to try to make ourselves experts, so when they come in, we send them to the first place and they get what they need right off the bat without having to go through a bunch of loopholes and everything. That's what the main plans are, and I'd like to thank Supervisor Lettman for putting this together. Thank you. All right, no one else? All right, items to be withdrawn from the consent agenda. If there are none, I'll take a motion to approve the consent agenda, please.
Mr. Mayor, I move that we approve the consent agenda as presented.
Second motion.
Cast your votes.
7 in favor of the motion. Motion carries.
Item number 2.
Item number 2, this is a public hearing. Discussion and possible action to make a recommendation to the Arizona Department of Liquor Licenses and Control to approve the application for a Series 12 restaurant liquor license, job number 319127, submitted by Carrie Ann Margaret Mione for Mione's Pizzeria, located at 2350 Miracle Mile number 306 in Bullhead City.
Mayor D'Amico, council member, staff has reviewed the application from Mione's Pizzeria and has no objections.
Anyone here from Mione's? No. Anyone have any questions, comments? Anyone from the audience? All right, I'll entertain a motion, please.
Mr. Mayor, I move to approve item 2 as read.
Second motion.
Cast your votes.
7 in favor of the motion. Motion carries.
Item number 3.
Item number 3, this is a public hearing. Discussion and possible action to adopt ordinance number 2025-4, approving the request for a zoning map change from C1 commercial neighborhood sales and service to R2MF residential multifamily for a 0.17 acre parcel of land located at 1540 Turquoise Road and described as Buena Vista Tract 1143, Block 4, Lot 5, Section 16, Township 20 North, Range 22 West, Bullhead City, Arizona.
Mayor D'Amico, council members, our planning manager, Johnny Laura, will present this item.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. So this is a request for a zoning change from C1 commercial to R2MF multifamily for this parcel located on the east side of Turquoise Road, just south of the intersection with Raymar Road. So as you head south on Turquoise Road, this lot is the last commercial zone lot before you get to the multifamily zoning. The two nearest adjoining residential lots that are developed are multifamily. To the north, there is a vacant commercial lot. Because of this, the owner believes that the best use for this lot is multifamily. If approved, they plan on building 3 residential units on the property per the site plan that's in your packet. The commission did recommend approval, 6 in favor, 0 opposed. I stand for any questions.
Anyone have any questions?
Yes, Mayor D'Amico. Mr. Cotter or Mr. Emery, this item and the next both contain a Proposition 207 waiver. Could we have a brief explanation?
Yes, Mayor and council members, Prop 207 was a referred initiative many, many years ago, which essentially provided that if a citizen is adversely affected by a zoning law or action, they may seek damages against the municipality. And so what the waiver is to have the person who initiates a zoning law change to waive that right, since they are the initiator of it rather than the municipality or the legislative body itself. So that's what the waiver is to protect the city against someone's own initiation of an action.
Thank you.
What else?
And Mr. Mayor, so Garm, basically what you're saying is that it protects us from somebody when we do what they ask us to from suing us.
Correct.
Thank you.
Yeah, the only comment, thank you, Mr. Mayor. The only comment I want to make is that for this community, this area, these 3 units will fit the common scheme of the neighborhood. Thank you very much.
Anyone else? Anyone from the audience? All right, motion time.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to make a motion.
Go ahead.
Thank you very much. I'd like to make a motion to accept line item 3. As stated.
I second.
Cast your votes.
7 in favor of the motion. Motion carries.
Item number 4.
Item number 4, this is a public hearing. Discussion and possible action to adopt resolution number 2025 R-9, approving an amendment to the land use plan of the Bullhead City General Plan to change the land use designation from RC, Regional Commercial, to MHDR, Medium High Density Residential, for an approximately 33.7 acre portion of land described as a portion of Section 11, Township 19 North, Range 22 West, Bullhead City, Arizona.
Mayor D'Amico, council members, our planning manager, Johnny Laura, will present this item as well.
Mayor, council, so this request for the minor, it's a minor general plan amendment from regional commercial to medium high density residential. This 33.7 acre parcel of land sits just west of the Mojave Crossroads Shopping Center on the south side of the Bullhead Parkway. The developer believes that a mixed single and multifamily use development there is the best use for the property. Right now, with the regional commercial, it would be a development similar to the Mojave Crossroads, the Target Center. The first step in that process is to request the general plan amendment. If it's approved, the developer could then apply for a zoning map change and preliminary and final plats. So one of the concerns that was brought up at the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting was access to this property. And as it stands now, the plan that's in your packet shows access coming only off of the parkway through the driveway that sits on the west side of Mojave Crossroads. It's the driveway that leads back to Kohl's. And there would not be any access from that subdivision to the south, which is Rio Lomas and the Terra Loma Drive that comes on the west side of that development. The commission did recommend approval of this with a 6-0 vote. I stand for any questions.
Anybody have any questions, comments? Anyone from the audience? Yes, ma'am.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. My name is Catherine Watkins, and I own a home on Terra
Loma. Can you speak into the microphone? Thank you.
My name is Catherine Watkins, and I own a home on Terra Loma Drive. I was here at the March 6th meeting, so I fully understand that this rezoning has been approved. But I do want to stand on the record that I still think this is too big of a project for those 33 acres. It's going to have 80 duplexes and I think it's 77 homes. So potentially you're going to have two cars per those homes. So you're going to have about 474 people leaving one street that comes from the Kohl's, goes out onto the parkway, only one street. You're going to have 474 people 2 miles within the Highway 95, which is already congested in the Crossroads area. So I also had brought up on the March 6th meeting that I would be hopeful that public safety would be ready for this amount of impact of people to be in this neighborhood, and also same with the medical staff in the community. So I don't see any, didn't see anyone here that was with the builder like they were the last time, but this is just a proposed plan. I'd like to know when the finalized plan would come through. I'm also concerned that my street will be totally blocked into this complex, what Johnny just brought up, so that I'm not getting all this cut through traffic, you know, with all the kids in the neighborhood and everything like that. So I'd like to know when the finalized plan would be. I'd like to make sure that they are going to block off that Terra Loma on the north side nearest to the parkway. And is there going to be a wall built around this plan to keep their neighborhood in that area? I'd also like to know that once they break ground, am I going to have some kind of a noise barrier? What about dust prevention, you know, for my home, for my breathing, for my vents that come in? You know, for the whole neighborhood, we're all seniors that live in that area. So, and I have a lot of other concerns, but I would like to really know when the finalized working plan is going to come through, and I think it's too large. So thank you for your time.
Thank you. Johnny, will we have them do a traffic study before the final plans?
Yes, so when they do their zoning change and their plat, they'll have to do the traffic study, drainage studies, all those typical studies that come with any development.
Okay, so we'll have more information when the traffic study comes before anything else goes forward.
Right.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else from the audience? All right, I'll entertain a motion, please.
A motion to approve item number 4 is read.
Second the motion.
Cast your votes.
7 in favor of the motion. Motion carries.
Item number 5.
Item number five, discussion and possible action to approve the contract for the 20-1 well completion and transmission main project with K Constructors in an amount not to exceed $2,694,466.61 and authorize the city manager to execute the contract and issue resultant payments.
Mayor D'Amico, council members, our utilities director, Mark Clark, is not available this evening due to a prior engagement. However, myself and our assistant city manager, Eddie Kajera, are here along with our water utilities team. And so Eddie will start out the presentation on this project.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Thank you, Mr. Toby Carter. This project came before you December of 2022 under resolution 22R67, and council approved it. Shortly after that, we started working on the project, and project went out to bid, and bids did come in last week, and I will let Norm Bergenschild, our associate engineer for the department, to come and explain this project a little bit further. Thank you.
Mayor, Council, basically our water master plan, which I know most of you have seen, a couple of our new members may or may not have all of the details on it, identified three well sites for the city that need to be done in the near future to support development for the city and provide backup basically for the aging system that we have. So the first of the wells was completed. That was the 24-1 well up off of Black Mountain. Actually, K Constructors completed that well in a very timely and efficient manner. We had two bidders for the contract for this completion project, which includes the wellhead and basically a half a mile of pipe from the Riverview location all the way up to the Big Bend site by the Ford dealer. So traffic control plans have all been taken care of. Materials seem to be in line with all the appropriate pricing for the project. Like I said, there were two separate bids, Felix Construction, K Contractors, and like I said, the engineering estimates were within 5% of the winning bid. So I stand for questions.
Do you have any questions, comments?
Hey, the question I have is this is going to be awarded under an IFB, which is an information for bid, rather than an RFQ, which is request for quote or request for price. Why was that chosen?
That's a good question. Director Clark told me to do it that way is the answer I have for you on that, unfortunately.
And council member, we also can provide some input into that as well.
Right. I would like to say something on that. We did have two separate engineering firms that developed this plan to create this design. So it wasn't an as or a design build project at all. It was a pre-designed project. That's why I think they chose to go out for bid on it as an invitation to bid instead of a request for quote.
Thank you.
And we agree with that as well. I mean, it was a very good project to bid out, so there's no concerns on our end with the pricing and the project.
Anyone else? Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone from the public?
Thank you.
All right, I'll entertain a motion, please.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to make a motion. Excuse me. To accept line item 5 as stated.
Second.
Cast your votes.
7 in favor of the motion. Motion carries.
That concludes our meeting. Everybody have a wonderful evening. Thank you.